Hello, listeners. This is Nicole, your host of the 50 Conversations podcast. This is just a quick update to tell you that I am oh so close to launching a new book for career changers like yourself. The book, Punch Doubt in the Face, How to Upskill, Change Careers, and Beat the Robots, is unlike any other career book out there. We're going to be talking robots, we're going to talk about bad bosses, and we're going to go on a couple of adventures. The world of work has changed since your parents' generation, yet the career advice you've been given since then really hasn't. I aim to change that with this book, and I want to invite you to be part of its launch and all the activities that I'm hosting afterwards. So, get on our list of curious career changers. You can visit www.punchdoubt.com. That's punch, P-U-N-C-H, doubt, D-O-U-B-T.com. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to 50 Conversations. I am your host, Nicole Merrill, and this is the podcast where we talk to career changers about their big career adventures, specifically their career change adventures. And every time I've been doing this intro, I've been thinking of different ways to tell you how excited I am to talk to the guest. And I'm tired of saying the word excited. So today I would say I'm feeling jubilant about talking to my guest, Christy Lodge, today. Christy, thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you, Nicole. I won't use the word excited, but I am energized to be here today.
That's a good one. I don't think I've used that yet. I may be using that on the next podcast.
Feel free.
Now, like all these other ones, we've had so many conversations at this point, and for a while I was just saying excited, excited, excited. I was like, we got to get some new adjectives in there. So, and spoiler alert, you were an English major. So, you know, I'm going to assume you have some familiar, you're a language person maybe, or you like words. Is that the correct assumption?
I absolutely do like words, Nicole, and we can chat after the end of this podcast, and I can give you some more ideas of words you could use.
This is great. Okay, we're ending it now. No, this is great. Okay, I will take that offer. Before we get to the end of the podcast, then, let's dive into you. I love starting out with the open-ended question. What are you currently doing for work right now?
Oh, so Nicole, I have two identities in terms of work right now.
Ooh,
so yes. So one thing that I am doing is that my title is Graduate Career Advisor, and I work for the School of Business at the University of Oregon, where I am working with Master of Science in Finance students. These are graduate students in a specialty master's program and MBAs. Uh-huh. That's one thing that I do. And then I'm also an entrepreneur, and in spare time, I'm the founder of a coaching consulting firm called Inkipit Career, where I coach, many of the people I coach are PhDs or people in higher ed who are seeking other careers.
Ah, brilliant. Okay. So spoiler alert, you have a PhD.
You do indeed.
So it makes you just the right person to be doing some of this coaching. And I love asking that question to start off with, because we really seem to find a lot of people, we're not just holding one identity. I like how you had two identities there, right? We've got different things going on. And I love hearing about that. Can you tell me, since we know this, you know, you haven't always been doing this, what were you doing before this? Kind of give us kind of the big overview of what you were doing before.
Well, I think to do a big, fast, quick compression of what I've done before, I originally started a PhD program thinking that I was going to be a professor, and I realized, no, that's not the right fit for me. I was able to transition into career counseling in higher ed, which I did for 10 years, and then I wound up changing and going into recruiting. And I did recruiting for a nonprofit, and then I did recruiting in the financial services sector. And it was when I went into recruiting that I also launched my own business and started working with my clients. And then almost a year ago, it'll be a year next month, I returned to higher ed and doing career coaching and advising in higher ed again.
Oh, I love this part about your background, is because being able to see kind of this path where you left one thing, went to another, and then ended up back into a similar, you know, space. right? Like that is, that's super cool. We haven't had anyone on that has done that before. Because one of the things I like about it, it just shows like kind of this flexibility that we have in our careers, right? You could be leaving one thing, but you never know, maybe down the line, you might get back into it.
Right. And the idea of having kind of a boomerang where you do something, you go away, maybe you try something out, maybe you build a skill set. Uh-huh. For me, and then coming back to the original thing, for me, the boomerang was great because I got to build a lot of experience in, well, I was in recruiting and talent acquisition that helps me so much now in the roles that I'm doing, both in my career coaching identity and then in my working in higher ed and coaching students identity.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Being able to add that employer perspective has got to be really valuable.
Absolutely.
So when did you make the decision? So I'm curious, going back to kind of your first time in higher ed, what happened to make you, you know, make the decision that you wanted to try something different?
It was a combination of things, and I think this is, I hear this story a lot from people. For one thing, I had been a decade in what was roughly the same role. I mean, my responsibilities had expanded and I'd taken on our internship program in addition to career counsel or career classes I was teaching. And, but then I had gotten to a point where I felt like I had accomplished everything or most of the things that I really wanted to do in that role. And so I think a lot of us hit that where we bump up against, okay, we've gotten to a point here where we've grown in the role and we've gone as far as maybe we're going to, and we don't necessarily see an immediate next step forward or upward, depending on where people want to go. And that was the case for me. And also, you know, universe, whatever you want to call it, intervened, and there were budget cuts. And so my position was eliminated. And so I was fortunate that I had a contract where I had time. I had time to look for other things and make some decisions, and I'm super grateful that I had that.
Yeah.
And then, although that had challenges too. So where I came to in being as in that position was having to, make some big decisions about what do I want to do next. So what I wanted to do was to explore recruiting because it was something I had an interest in. It was adjacent to the work that I was doing, and I felt like I had some good transferable skills to go into the field. So I was initially really interested in executive search firms that have practices in higher ed. So I started reaching out to people on LinkedIn and saying, hey, will you talk to me? Will you talk to me for 20 minutes? And so I did a bunch of informational interviews that were really great and helped me to learn more about recruiting and the process and the language that's used, and that it did seem like it would be a good fit for me. Although I wound up taking a position locally where I am for a nonprofit, being able to do recruiting, which was a huge learning curve. Yeah. And I'm proud of the work that I was able to do there. But you know, so definitely I had transferable skills, but it still was a big change and a big learning curve. And I really appreciate the people I worked with.
I bet.
Who helped me learn a lot.
Yeah. I think what's, you know, you said so much in there that I would love to come back to because, you know, you just have such a good perspective as you talk through this. You know, one of the things you had said about, you know, you kind of reached this place in your role where it was like, I don't really want the next thing up, or that's not kind of the fit for me, and kind of that feeling of, now what? Right. And I think that's such a important thing to put out there, because, you know, a lot of times with this old school career model of just, you know, the career ladder model, it's like, well, obviously the next thing I do is just move up.
Right.
It's like, but we need to take time and stop and think and say, well, wait a minute, what if up doesn't work?
Exactly. And really, it's so interesting because I forget what the huge, awful statistic is of the percentage of people who hate their jobs or, you know, it's really high. And you think, wow, I think sometimes people sometimes feel either obligated to take that next step up or because it's there and that's the way my career is supposed to go, or they feel like, well, maybe this would be an escape. Maybe this would be better, but like helping people think like it's more of the same or expanded scope of more of the same, either at the same place or with the same people or the same doing the same job. Is that going to work?
Yeah.
And
I think that's, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's really hard for people to stop and say, yeah, no.
Yeah. I think it's definitely one of those times where you'll have to excuse me because my dog, that's the other person who likes to make an appearance on this podcast.
Yay, dog.
So for all of our listeners, that's my dog, Leroy. She really hates trucks that drive by. And, you know, I blame Amazon for that. But going back to what you said about that, you know, that feeling of I have to take this and stuff. I think that's how we end up with bad bosses too, right?
Right.
People that are like, well, I don't know what the next step is. I guess the next step is management. Let's do it. And they're not actually a person that wants to be a manager or, you know, yes. It's not a good fit. And I like what you said about, you know, is this really a fit if you're just going to do more of the same?
Right. Right.
You know, it could be industry specific because we've been talking before, and for new listeners, I also used to work in higher ed, and, you know, this idea that moving up to the next level in our similar cases, actually, Christy and I, you know, would involve director level. And I can tell you from my perspective, I was like, I don't want to be a director. You know, I looked at what they did and I said, oh, that's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of budgets. And that's yes. just not what I preferred. I like teaching and hands-on.
Right.
You know? And it's hard when you realize that about your role because it really makes you reflect. You can't be on autopilot anymore.
I wrote a blog post about this, which yeah. is on my website's blog, and I call it the escalator myth.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Where this idea, right, that you start your career and you just, it's like the career is an escalator and you get yeah. on and you've got to stay on it until you get to the top.
Yeah.
And you can't, I mean, and if you get off, that's both hard because it's a moving escalator, but it's also seen as like, well, why would you do that?
Absolutely.
When I told people, okay, I'm going to finish my PhD, but I'm going to go take this other job over here full time, that's not a faculty or tenure track job, and it's, you know, has nothing to do with being an Anglo-Saxonist, people said, wait, you're getting a PhD. Wait.
Yeah. But you're supposed to do this.
Yeah, right. It's like, but no, I don't want to go do that. And I think a lot of people have internalized that message, which is why they come to you, they come to me, they're coming to coaches mm-hmm. to say, hey, somebody help me hit the reset button, or, you know, I have all this stuff and I don't know how to make sense of it now.
Yeah. Because no one, you know, going back to that idea of the career escalator, you know, we've talked about the career ladder before, definitely on this podcast, but, you know, the idea is you're only on one path. So if we all assume we're all on one path, nobody teaches you how to change.
Right. Right?
And that's why, well, quite frankly, while we have jobs as career coaches.
Right. I know.
Because yeah, you're not taught how to change careers. And a lot of times going back to that internalizing part, you know, people feel like a failure because they're changing when in fact, like, you're actually, you know, doing something good for yourself. You're recognizing this isn't a fit. It doesn't fit my life. It doesn't fit my needs. It doesn't fit my values, whatever it is. It doesn't fit my financial situation, whatever that need is, it's not meeting it. And you're doing the right thing by stepping back and saying, okay, if not this, then what? Right?
Right.
And, you know, being able to reframe that, I think, is so important. Going back to what you said again, you've said so many good stuff. I don't want to miss it here. You were laid off though.
Yes, I was.
And you're actually the first person we've had on this conversation podcast that has brought up layoffs. And I just kind of wanted to ask you, like, what was that like for you? Like, how did you bounce back or really feel like just tell me what that was like. Yeah.
Oh, it was hard. And I have a feeling that the reason people don't bring it up is because it's uncomfortable or shameful to talk about.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
It is. It's hard. And, you know, though, the more I talk with people, the more stories I hear that, you know, job relationships are just like any other kinds of relationships in mm-hmm. your life. And you have people who fit with you well, other people who don't fit with you well.
Yeah.
You know, relationships, you know, work relationships evolve and change over time. You know, you get a new supervisor, there's regime change, and suddenly things don't fit the same way.
Oh, yes.
But I think, though, that we all take that on and feel real shame because it's, again, if you're going with your career ladder or your escalator, mm-hmm. A metaphor, mm-hmm. right, it's our fault. If yeah. the escalator broke, it's our fault.
Right. And that's crazy, right? Because
yes.
in the fact, we talk so much about, you know, this idea that we should be loyal to companies, but companies are not loyal to us.
No,
we can be replaced at any time. And I think
that
shame that's really left over from a different generation of work of, you know, that we should just be loyal to these companies, but they don't take care of us.
Right.
And, you know, if a company, I love your phrase, regime change. Oh my goodness. You know, if a company changes on you and it no longer fits,
right,
then you should feel free, guilt-free, to be able to look at the situation and say, this doesn't work for me anymore, and then figure out how to change it.
Exactly. I think, and that's the hard part for people in terms of feeling like, well, you know, and sometimes, of course, you know, people are let go because of the things that, you know, contributing factors, and they're part of it. And, you know, but I think oftentimes it's complicated and things happen on both sides, and that people don't, you know, it's hard. People feel very ashamed and they're like, well, how do I talk about this? And what do I say? Yeah. And how do I, you know, especially if there's been, you know, conflict and, you know, things happening, it can be, I'm sure you have talked to people about how do you frame the story? How do you be positive?
Yeah.
Things like that. So it took a while for me to feel comfortable saying like, this is what happened. I was laid off and there was no job anymore. And, because you do feel like, well, what, you know, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? And, but also the big thing I think that's important for people to remember as best they can, because I think these situations can happen really quickly too for people where, I've heard situations of this happening, like people are going along fine and then they're called into a conference room and handed a severance letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have to process through that and the shock and grief.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if people can avoid making quick decisions or decisions out of fear, because it's really easy and to think like, I need a job now. And then you may not land into the right fit or the thing that might be best for you post layoff. Mm-hmm. But obviously everybody's got different situations. They may need to access, you know, health benefits, who knows?
Yeah.
But that for me was something that was hard to combat, was this like, I need to make decisions like now. And I need to,
I gotta figure this out.
Exactly. And also there's the shame in, having this been, you know, my career,
right,
and feeling like, I should know what I'm doing. But when you're in that role and you're in the other side of it, you're experiencing everything that your clients experience. Yeah. And you have to, even though you have the knowledge and the insight, it's hard to apply it in the moment when you're emotional.
Definitely. I think it's hard in general. It's funny when you're a coach, right? Knowing all the things you tell your clients. And then when it comes to you, you then become aware of the things you're not doing. But it doesn't mean you're going to do them. Case in point, I'm going with my publisher. They're coaching me through this publishing process to publish the book, and they are coaching me. And, awesome. You know, I'm very dialed into being coached, like, because I'm a coach. I know what it's like, and I know what a good coach is, and they're very good. But it's amazing. They gave me advice real recently, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's great advice. That's exactly the advice I have given clients. Great. Okay. So, like, it's just coaching ourselves is difficult. And I think that actually goes to the value of, you know, having a career coach. We haven't talked much about this, but I didn't even know anything about career coaches until I became one. You know, I was just like, well, they're kind of around. What do you do with them? But in times, especially during layoffs, right, being able to give someone to, you know, be able to reframe things and give you, you know, directions you can put one foot in front of the other in a strategic way is incredibly valuable.
Oh, absolutely. And it really, I think, speaks to, I think in general, our need as people to have a community of support.
Absolutely.
Whether that's your friends, whether that's a coach and you're paying for somebody, or you're going to a therapist, or I think we're finding today that we need to have these people in our lives and to either reflect back to us, or someone to be able to say, yeah, actually, you know, here's some work I think you need to do over here on this. Then we all benefit when we have those people.
Definitely. Definitely. When you, so going back to kind of your path and stuff like that, after you were laid off, you get this other job, and at the same time, you're starting your own business too.
Yes, I was.
doing absolutely. Both. You were like, you know what? All right, fine. We're going to do this now.
Well, and it was like, okay, so now I have some more time and I'm going to go for it because yeah. I had been, you know, starting to think about this and plan for it and thinking I could, you know, do this. I could launch my own business and see my own clients. And, you know, I saw a need too, because as somebody with a PhD, to be able to coach other PhDs was something I was wanting to do and not having the opportunity necessarily to do mm-hmm. in my former role. So it felt like, okay, go for it. Let's, what do I have right. to lose?
Yeah. And it's interesting too, PhDs, I see it a lot. They don't get the kind of career support that maybe like undergraduates get, you know?
Right. Or there's a perception that career support is not for me, a PhD student. It's just for undergraduates or the people who, you know, I could relate to are not necessarily there. I mean, that is changing. Universities are changing that, but it doesn't mean, because as you're talking about, and we talked about a little bit earlier, Nicole, the fact is people's careers are changing. There's a lot yeah. of change that people go through. So just because you get a PhD and you start in academia doesn't mean you're going to stay there. Yeah. And so people need the support to change at different points in their lives. They don't, I think we often think, oh, well, people need, this is sort of the other kind of outdated thinking that we have, which is people need a lot of support when they're starting out because they don't know who they are and they don't know what they want. And they need a lot of support to get going. But once they're going, they're fine.
Oh, yeah, no. Right. I could not agree with that more. Yeah. It is really outdated thinking and going back to, you know, those metaphors, right? The escalator, the ladder. And, you know, I specialize in, you know, the role of artificial intelligence and new technology in the workplace. And it's fundamentally reshaping jobs.
Oh, yes.
The skills that employers need. And so you have so many mid-career professionals that are maybe, you know, 10, 15 years out of college going, wait, what? You know, maybe more in the 15 to 20 years out of college going, wait a minute, I went to college, I thought I was fine, and now they're finding they have to reskill. And so it's like, how do you do this? And what does that even mean for a career anymore? And so.
Right. Or there's a brand new job that's like, that didn't exist 10 years ago, but now yes. I think I want to do that job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, you don't even know these jobs exist until someone tells you, you know?
Yes.
So, well, actually, with that said, because we're getting near the end here, I want to ask you one or two questions that we ask everyone. How many career changes do you think you're going to have in a lifetime?
Me personally?
Yeah.
You know, I think, honestly, somewhere between 5 to 7.
Yeah?
I do, because I just don't know. I don't know how things are going to look even 5 years from now.
Yeah, definitely.
So, one of the things that my career changes have taught me, I think, is hopefully is to be open-minded and flexible. Like I really love my dual identities. Mm. I love the work that I'm doing, but it could look different in 5 years. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's big factors in there that are, you know, somewhat beyond my control.
Yeah.
So the best I can do is stay current and up to date and, you know, have a good network.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So do you have any advice for people that are thinking about making a career change?
Yes.
Ooh, I know you do.
Of course.
Lay it on us.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm delighted.
That, of course, I would say anybody who's kind of circling around, oh, maybe this, maybe that, there's probably a lot of possibilities in your head, along with probably a lot of fears in your head, folks out there. Like, how could I even think about changing when I have kids and a mortgage and a this and a that?
Yeah.
Which is to say, stop thinking and start trying things. And that doesn't have to be quit your job tomorrow and start, you know, Instagramming yourself. That could be you actually start writing down things you're interested in. You start doing a little research. You go to onetonline.org, and you start looking up some of these jobs that you've run across. Reach out. This is a lot of advice. Reach out to people and do informational interviews and ask them what it's like and ask them, you know, how could somebody like me get into Instagramming and social media management. How do I do that?
Yeah.
If that's something I think I want to do. Because the great part about a process like that is in information gathering is you start figuring out what's real, what's realistic, what maybe you could incorporate. Can you bring some of that back to your current role if it doesn't make sense for you to do radical career change? And I really love what they talk about in design thinking, designing your life, which is like, what's the real problem? Sometimes I think people are like, I need a new job. And that's not really the real problem in their life. Maybe it's that they hate their commute. So is there something there that could be fixed or changed or mitigated?
I think that's really good thinking too, right? Just almost taking, you know, it's that taking that time to just slow down and say, okay, what is it that I really need here? I like your part about like, we just don't have to just quit the job, right? Like it takes time, that exploration phase, you know, there's so much that goes into that. And it's really a time for yourself, right? To work through that. And maybe we don't have all the time because we've got family and job responsibilities and commutes, but still carving out that space for yourself to really think through, what is it I need out of a job, out of a career, out of going to work from my coworkers, you know, is an incredible exercise. And I love what you said about writing it down.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because I think we can dream until the cows come home. but I think, and I think I'm sure you've seen this too, Nicole, you have to be accountable to yourself to make some progress. And one way to be accountable is to actually start putting things on paper.
Oh, that's so true. It's so true, because you start making that, it becomes a lot more real when you write it down, and even more real when you tell somebody who isn't your spouse.
Right.
Right. Like that accountability. Yeah. It's powerful.
And I tell people, you know what, just practice saying it to yourself in the mirror if you're scared to say something to somebody.
Yeah. Oh, Chrissy, you've given us such good advice, and I really love, I mean, we went on a journey today in this conversation.
Well, thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and folks, we're going to have to end the interview so I can get some more adjectives to greet you with next time. But if you're looking for more conversations, you can go to futureskills.blog to check out all of our podcast episodes, or go to iTunes and look for 50 Conversations. And we will see you again next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hello, listeners. Hope you enjoyed that show. This is your reminder to get on our list, because my new book, Punch Doubt in the Face, How to Upskill, Change Careers, and Beat the Robots, is out soon. And I'm going to be hosting a series of events online that I think you're really going to enjoy. So make sure you get on the list. Visit punchdoubt.com.